Welcome to the Community for Coaches podcast, where we help coaches intentionally and effectively use sports to transform lives.
Ultimately, that's how you build good programs. You have really good kids who pass on their good traits and characteristics down to the underclassmen. So when it's their time to kind of take that senior role, they're ready for it. They know what it looks like, what it's supposed to, you know, how it's supposed to go. And then they pass it down to the younger group, and it just kind of keeps trickling down.
Okay. Welcome to the Community for Coaches podcast. It is Coach of the Year season for 2024. And once again, Alec and I are with you. I am Ryan Kriskowski. We have with us today Coach Adam Olerich, the head boys basketball coach at Olathe North High. Adam, it's great to have you with us, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. Alec, I'm going to kick it over to you, and we'll get the ball rolling.
Well, Adam, good to have you on. We always like to start off just hearing about coaches, how they got into coaching, and maybe a couple of places they've coached over the years and what they're doing now. So if you could just kind of give us a little history, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Ryan, that was a great intro. You're a natural on podcasting. My coaching history, I was an education major in college. I think first and foremost, I come from a long line of teachers, long line of educators, mom's a teacher, grandparents, teachers, all that good stuff. I knew coaching was going to be, for me, a byproduct of teaching. Getting a teaching job, I knew there was going to be some coaching opportunities probably attached to that. Grew up playing sports, played basketball and baseball through high school, played small college baseball at Mid-America. And actually, my first coaching job was my college baseball coach, Todd Garrett, who's now the athletic director at Mid-America.
Yeah.
He got me a job coaching 14 and under USSSA baseball. He said, "Hey man, I think you'd be good at it. You should try it." And so I did, and I loved it. That was my first introduction into USSSA baseball as a kid that grew up playing Legion baseball with his high school buddies in the summer. This was a totally different deal for me, going to the World Series, watching these kids exchange their pins with all the different teams. I know this is relatable to you, Ryan. It was just a whole new world of baseball. But great group of kids, great group of families. When I started teaching full time in the Olathe School District, I did, middle school football, middle school basketball, continued to do some high school baseball at Olathe South. I just knew long-term that basketball was going to be ultimately what I wanted to pursue. It was always my favorite sport growing up as a kid. It was always my favorite sport to coach. Even though I played baseball in college, I knew, basketball long-term for me was going to be what I wanted to pursue in terms of coaching opportunities. So,
it's funny. I'm going to stop you there because, Curtis Blow, basketball is his favorite sport too. He loves it when they dribble up and down the court.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. All right. Yes, so I had to work that in.
We got Multiplicity and Curtis Blow, man. We're like 5 minutes into this thing. It's great. I started coaching high school the next year, so my second year at Olathe, I was coaching high school basketball at Shawnee Mission West for a year, Olathe Northwest for a year. And then I've been at Olathe North since 2012. So this is my 12th year there and did, several years of JV. And then this is my fifth year as the head coach. Took over for a great guy, unbelievable guy, Jeff Walton, one of my biggest mentors in coaching, just about how to go about it, how to treat people. He's a great one to have in your corner and a great one to look up to. So that's really it. I mean, that's the Reader's Digest version of it anyways. So, a few other pit stops in between and some other summer baseball teams, but, all in all, that's the chunk of it. Had Mission Trail, football for, 2010 to 2019, where I met Ryan and we coached together and, a few pit stops, few different jobs here and there. I think, probably pretty similar to a lot of people that get into coaching. I think you do a lot of different things. You could probably coach a lot of different sports, particularly if you're going through the middle school, high school kind of scene. You're just kind of jumping into things and doing different things. because you want to pursue coaching. And then, you know, after a while, maybe you get an opportunity and you get lucky like I have, and you land a gig that you plan on being at for a while.
So what's it like coaching kind of at your alma mater? Like, what's that like for you?
The easy answer is it's special. Obviously I love Olathe North. I love the kids. I love what it's about. You know, I think it's such a diverse high school. It was when I was there. That hasn't changed. It's unique because you remember so many different things from when you were a student there, when you're walking back through those halls. Now, obviously they've added on a few wings and a few new hallways since I've been there. And that certainly was, that took me a while to get used to. When kids were asking me where the 900 hall was, I said, I have no idea, because it didn't exist when I was a student there. Some things like that, but the bones of Olathe North are always there. And they always will be. And, it's the original Olathe High School, man. I mean, it's the original, this was Olathe High at one time, and in 81 Olathe South opened, and 94, I think, is when Olathe East opened. And then, mid 2000s, Olathe Northwest. And then obviously, a handful of years ago, Olathe West. So, but, Olathe North is kind of that, I think it's one of the centerpieces of Olathe. So, and, I'm biased and I could talk probably another 20 minutes on Olathe North, but, it's a special place. So.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What would you say are kind of some sports experiences that have impacted you, maybe either when you were playing or early in your coaching?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me, and again, you'll hear me say lucky a lot. My situation was a little bit different. I grew up in small towns until we moved here. We moved here about middle school age, 12-ish. But in the towns that I grew up in, some small towns in Iowa, a small town in southern Minnesota, there just wasn't a lot of youth sport opportunities, So I didn't really get into, team sport. And then really probably the first like organized team sport that I played was I probably was like 12, 13. And that was like Babe Ruth baseball. Yeah, wow. When we went to Olathe. So it was the old school Babe Ruth. And that was the first time I was ever like on a team, had uniforms, had the patches on your sleeve. I'm like, what is this? I had not grown up, in towns and communities where, youth sports was just accessible. They weren't around. You just rode your bike around all summer. You went to the city pool. You play some sports, but it was, kind of unorganized stuff with kids in the neighborhood. Yeah. So it was different. That was my first experience as a player. I think the thing for me is like, I was lucky. I had good coaches. I think, from like that age on, good coaches. I thought they were quality guys, great teammates. And I think the biggest thing for me is, when you get into coaching, everybody, I don't know what most people would say, but I think if you backed them into a corner, you'd say, well, I got into coaching because it's the next best thing to playing. When you can't play anymore, you kind of gravitate towards coaching. I think a lot of people do that. You're competitive. I was no different. Like, a thing for me is that, man, I just enjoy being on a team, like being part of a team, and just kind of hunkering in with your guys, with your group, and trying to do hard things and surrounding yourself with good people. I heard Dan Quinn say that. He said it a little differently in his press conference. He said he likes doing hard stuff. That was the PG version, with good people. And that resonated with me. I think that's, coaching's hard. Trying to win games is hard. Trying to prepare to win games is hard. But when you're doing it with a bunch of people that you love doing it with, and your assistant coaches, your kids, it's the work is the reward, man. You just love showing up every day and digging into it. And that's what I enjoyed as a player. It's what I enjoy as a coach.
Hey, Adam, you mentioned Jeff Walton, and you had nice things to say about Jeff as a mentor. Was he the head coach when you were at North?
He was not. He was okay. Not. He came in, I want to say, maybe 2005. And okay. Then, so when I was there, I played for a guy named Bob Duncan, So Bob was the counselor at Olathe North. And then, you know, he's retired, but he's made it back to a few games. And in fact, he was at a couple of our sub-state games, and he kind of shows up, but he's getting up there in age. So it's a little tougher for him to get out.
Yeah. Well, that mentorship piece is huge. And I know you take, you know, both your relationships with those that have mentored you and then those that you're working with and your players and whatnot. But one guy I wanted to mention was an assistant coach who actually nominated you for Coach of the Year, a guy named Matt Rippey. And I know you guys go way back and Matt's on your staff now. So talk just a little bit about that relationship.
Yeah. I mean, and the simple thing is, like, you know, Rip's one of my best friends, you know, and Scruggsy too, our JV coach. I mean, you know, and I think the three of us, you know, just how basketball programs kind of operate at the high school level. You know, you have your varsity coach, your varsity assistant, your JV coach, and then your C team coach and your freshman coach. But really a lot of times, you know, your JV, your varsity assistant, you know, the head coach, the three of us are kind of all, you know, we orchestrate things together, you know, we practice together, we game plan together, you know, work together all the time. In terms of, you know, preparation all the time in the summer. And obviously we get our C team and freshman coach involved as much as we can, but we also are mindful that, you know, they have their own teams that they're coaching and, you know, their families and stuff. And, you know, we always have that, hey, the door is always open. You do as much as you want with us too, on top of what else you're doing. But we want you to have some work-life balance too. That's mm-hmm. important. Because we want you to stay in the profession because we think you're good at it. But yeah, you know, Rip has been, you know, he's been awesome, and you know him. He's got the right kind of temperament for coaching. Stays pretty even keel. It's what we want. Doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. You know, it's kind of our mindset as a program. Keep pushing for the next opportunity, the next day, the next practice. But yeah, just having that kind of relationship outside of basketball, I think is unique. It's awesome. And I think, you know, I think one of the most important things you do when you become if you get an opportunity to become a head coach is you got to hire the right kind of staff that's going to be, you know, around you, that's going to try to support you in what you're doing. But you're also going to support them. You're going to work together. I think that's important because you spend a whole lot of time together. I'm glad I get to do it with two of my best friends. You know, we're pretty fortunate to have that, because I don't think everybody has that at the high school level in their staff. But that was maybe one of my first things when I got the job was to figure that out. I was like, you know, I got to have two guys, particularly in those roles, that are going to be, you know, number one, good people, which they are, good coaches. They're excellent coaches. And then, you know, third, just guys that, you know, we're going to hang out off the floor, on the floor. I think it's important. I think it's important for your program. It's important for the kids to see.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
He's terrific.
Did you have any experiences where you didn't have that support in an environment and it affected your enjoyment of coaching?
You know, not really. I've always been kind of the guy, like, you know, when I was the freshman coach at Olathe Northwest in 2011, you know, I was hungry to just learn, you know, so I tried to attend as, you know, we would practice in the morning, with our freshman team before school started. Then I'd come over to Mission Trail and teach. But then a lot of times I would go back and go to some of those varsity practices and just be a guy out there, you know, if they needed something, you know, some help with the drill, something like that, I was available. But more than anything for me, it was just learning, you know, learning from more experienced guys, just that growth mindset piece. You know, I think I was a C team coach at Shawnee Mission West. And again, kind of you're practicing at just these random times because of gym space and usage and things like that. But I tried to sit on the bench for every varsity game, just to see, you know, just to learn. You know, the guy that I worked for in my first high school job at Shawnee Mission West was entering his 44th year as a head basketball coach. I still have his notebook upstairs. that's full of, you know, thousands of clinics he's probably attended and notes that he's taken. And, you know, if I ever need, you know, an out of bounds play or, you know, a different way to attack a press or a zone or something, he's got it all up there. And, you know, I still have that. And he was a wealth of knowledge. And so I wanted to soak that up. And so, no, I mean, I think when you're a young coach, ultimately you have to be yourself. I think that's really important, but you also, you know, you want to take away things that you like about how guys go about certain situations. And then obviously things that maybe you're like, I'm not sure I would handle that situation the same. And I think you just, it's just kind of that give and take. You just kind of look at things and take the good and the bad, and you take it all in, and then you kind of process it and how are you going to maybe use it or not use it down the road when you get an opportunity? So, you know, again, been lucky, haven't had bad situations.
Sounds like though you very intentionally put in the time to build community around you, to seek people out, to try to gain more perspective. So that's really, I think, kind of needed in the coaching world, that coaches sometimes, I think, isolate themselves, you know, and they don't always build a community around them to support. And then, so then when they have a tough situation, they don't have anyone to go to, you know, because it is extra effort to build those relationships, you know, it's extra effort. But I think when you build those relationships, then you have somebody to support you on a rainy day, so to speak, or a difficult situation, you have someone to go to, you know? So I think that's important that coaches hear that like you need friends before you need to make friends before you need them, so to speak. You need mentors before you actually need, you have a tough situation where you need to ask a mentor. You need to have already built that relationship, you know? So.
Yeah. Plus investing in those relationships on the front end makes the so-called daily grind something that we enjoy doing together rather than something that feels like a grind.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a great segue in how you go about coaching too. I mean, like how you deal with your players. Like if you don't establish good, solid relationships with your kids, then when those tough conversations have to happen, and they do every year, about whatever. But a lot of times in our sport, it's role allocation. It's burn, it's tick, it's minutes, it's shots, it's this, it's that. But when you have to have those hard conversations with your kids, if you've established good relationships with them beforehand, you know, man, it makes those conversations, I think, go a lot more smooth.
Sure.
And you know, you can coach them hard too. You know, you coach them really hard because, you know, they ultimately know you have their back. And it, I think it's the same way when you're working with coaches, you know, other coaches on the staff. Like, you know, you're going to have disagreements as a staff too, but man, you know, you're still my bud afterwards, even if we disagree. You know, Rip and I have disagreed, you know, Scruggs and I have disagreed, but that doesn't get in the way of our relationship. And I think it's important as a coach player too. So.
Awesome.
How do you do that with your players? What's kind of the way that you try to build the strength of those relationships so it can kind of handle tough coaching, hard coaching, challenging coaching, you know, things like that, hard conversations?
How do you do that? I mean, I think it's a daily thing. I mean, I really do. I mean, for me, it starts in the summer. We get our new kids coming into the gym in the summer. You start building those relationships right away with those players. And then, you know, for the next 4 years, if they play basketball for the next 4 years, you know, you're going to have a lot of time spent together, off season, preseason conditioning, if they're not playing a fall sport, which in our case, you know, a lot of our guys are playing a fall sport. We don't have a whole lot of basketball only guys in our school. You know, it's a daily thing. You know, it's a daily thing. I think you have to invest in your kids every day. You have to have small conversations with them every day. Find those times and practices where you can pull them aside and talk to them. And you guys have, this is nothing new, but you guys have heard this a million times, but just talk to them about stuff that's not even basketball, you know, just ask them about life and family and things like that. And, you know, that's important. It's important to me that I know that stuff about our players. because I want to. I want to know about what's going on outside of basketball. I think that brings some comfort, you know, to everything that we're doing. Because sometimes things get uncomfortable at practice, and certainly sometimes things get uncomfortable during competition. To me, it's a daily thing. You have to invest in your kids daily, and your students too, as a teacher. I just think that helps you. It helps you, like Coach said, you know, the day-to-day grind of it. When you're doing that and you're investing in your kids all the time and you're having dialogue and communication, it never really feels like a grind. It hardly feels like work, to be honest with you. So, the simple answer to that is just daily. It's a daily deal.
Right. Yeah. So what would you say it is that gets you up in the morning to do the daily grind? You know, what's like the reward for you or the motivation that, you know, sets you up for?
Yeah. I mean, you know, to me, it's just the work, you know, like I told Ryan, I mean, the work is the reward. Like, you know, what gets me up is, I'm a lot like, you know, my dad is, he was always, you know, super regimented, structured. You know, I'm going to get up at this time. I'm going to do this. I'm going to work out at this time. I'm going to do this. And he was, you know, super, super, you know, handy, like projects, things like that. And he loved that. He loves doing that. He's older now, so he doesn't do it as much. But, you know, I'm probably wired the same exact way as my dad in terms of that. Like, I get up at a certain time every morning. I'm going to, you know, try to go work out a little bit in the morning. Come to work, go to practice. I love that structure of the day. And then I love the challenge, like the day-to-day challenge of, what do we have to do today? You know, depending on what the day is, you know, if it's Monday, are we getting ready for a Tuesday game? If it's Wednesday, are we going to be, you know, breaking down some film and then, you know, probably going a little bit lighter on the floor? You know, so Thursday we can have a good pregame for Friday's game, you know, if you're kind of in the meat of the season. But if it's in the summer, it's, you know, hey, we get to get up, we get to go into the gym and kind of work out with our kids and work on skill development. It just kind of depends on what time of year it is and where you're at in your season. But man, you know, the thing about high school sports, you know, it's almost a 365 kind of thing. You know, we do give our guys, you know, some time off, obviously, and much needed time off, with a little bit of time off in the summer. But man, I mean, you know, it's getting less and less, I think, for the kids in terms of time off for them and coaches too. You know, you kind of see that pendulum swinging that way. So
there's definitely something about the sports environment, the high school environment, of it's such a tangible kind of circuit that you go through every year. There's some consistency to it. And then there's in life, like as more of adult life, like things, there's a lot longer for you to see the results of your work sometimes, you know, even with your family or whatever, you're investing in people. It can take years before you see the fruit versus in sports. There is this real connection between the work you put in, the training you put in, the results you see in the season. It's just like a faster feedback loop that kind of tests how we it shows our work, I think, a little bit quicker. You know, it sounds like you enjoy that tangibleness of like, okay, we're going to work really hard, and then we get to see the results of that work on the weekend or whenever the game is, you know. Sounds like you like that, but like, how are you translating, helping your kids? What are you trying to teach them in that process? You know, like, what's the biggest thing you want them to take from your coaching?
There you go.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is I want our kids, number one, to see, you know, I think for our guys, you know, they love competition. They enjoy coming into the gym and working hard, you know, so then there's this, okay, well, there's like a shared responsibility as a coach, like, hey, if, you know, as a coach, you're always asking your kids, hey, you got to work really hard. You got to give great effort. So, I mean, there's a responsibility, I think, on our end as coaches. You better be doing the same thing. And so how do you go about doing that for your players? I want them to see that, just that connectivity of teamwork. You know, hey, coaches are working hard, players are working hard. We're trying to work to a common goal of, you know, trying to get a little bit better every day. If that equates to a lot of wins, great. If it doesn't, that's okay. We're just going to try to get better every day. And then, you know, we always talk about as a program, you know, and I stole this from the New Zealand All Blacks, is like, you know, you got to have great ancestors in your program. You know, they talk about having great ancestors. So we always talk about our seniors when they leave, you know, hey, you've been through this program for 4 years now and you've become, you know, now you're an ancestor, you know, when you graduate, and you've been a great one. You've been a great one for other kids to follow in our program. I think ultimately that's what's led to whatever success that we've had the last few years. We've had such good leadership in our program, and that has trickled down from our players. I think from our players more so than coaches, about how to go about it. You know, their effort, their intensity, their sense of team, you know, commitment to their teammates, being a good teammate. And they just said they've been such great ancestors that that's all kind of trickled down to our younger guys in our program. And I think ultimately that's how you build good programs. You have really good kids who pass on their good traits and characteristics down to the underclassmen. So when it's their time to kind of take that senior role, they're ready for it. They know what it looks like, what it's supposed to, you know, how it's supposed to go. And then they pass it down to the younger group, and it just kind of keeps trickling down. And then ultimately, you know, obviously everything that we talk about, you know, all the things that, you know, you need to have success in athletics. I mean, all that stuff is just, it's the same stuff you're going to use when you're 25. It's the same stuff you're going to use when you're 30, when you're 35, when you face different challenges, you know, because those challenges are going to be, you know, they're going to be there. That's life. And so when they learn, I think, and we talk about the stuff that we talk about on a daily basis, you know, teamwork, being unselfish, you know, attacking the day with effort and intensity, those are things you're going to have to use in your family. Those are things you're going to have to use in your profession, whatever that is down the road. And I hope they take a lot of those things away from our program. They use them when they're 25, they use them when they're 35, they use them when they're 45. So that's really important to us. It's important to me. So that's kind of the long term. You know, you hope to leave your kids with those things. You know, the short term is let's get better tomorrow. So, but it, you know, it's all important.
Yeah, that's good. What advice do you have for new coaches getting into coaching based on your experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think I put on the doc, you know, be yourself. You know, I think you have to be yourself. You have to be authentic. I think kids can sift through when you're not being authentic. Kids are pretty smart. You know, they're pretty intelligent. Certainly the high school ones, they can sniff you out if you're not being authentic. And then try to learn as much as possible. I think so many times kids come in as young coaches and they feel like they've got all the answers to all the questions, and you don't. And I've always kind of tried to pride myself on having, you know, more questions than answers. It's always been kind of my approach. You know, never feel like I've got everything figured out. Pick the brain of other guys, of your other staff member. I do that all the time, constantly with our staff. You know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think we should, you know, I want that, you know, I want that shared, you know, I just want that shared data from everybody, you know, so we can make the right kind of decision for our players. I don't really care who ultimately makes the decision. I just want it to be the right decision. I think that's important as a coach. Like, you know, you need to lean on some of the more experienced guys as you're getting into it. Ask questions about things. Don't be afraid to ever do that, and try to soak up as much as you can. But then ultimately, you got to put your stamp on it, and you got to be yourself.
Mm-hmm. So how do you be authentic when you're like an authentic good coach when you don't actually know anything yet?
That's a good question. I think you show the vulnerability to your kids. Like, I mean, I think that's important. Like, you can't fake it. Because if you fake it and you're completely wrong, then you're going to create more problems. But kids are okay with vulnerability. I think that's one of the things you worry about as a coach. It's like, you know, well, what if I don't know the answer? Well, then just tell them you don't know the answer. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to be okay with that. They'll be like, hey, you know what? Hey, coach is, you know, he's just like us. You know, he's a little vulnerable too. And he doesn't know all the answers. And I think if you approach it like, hey, I don't know the answer right to this particular situation, whatever the question is, but I'll go find out for you. I'll go ask somebody and that's okay. That's okay. Yeah.
Well, and there's a balance there, right? You can't go in and just be a dope and say, I don't know anything about anything.
Right, right.
I've got a plan, but I'm also humble enough to realize that there will be times when I don't know. And hey, let's figure it out together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that builds a lot of good, you know, team DNA when you do that. I really do. You know, you give some players some ownership too. We give our kids ownership. You know, Rip might say we give them too much ownership sometimes, but you know.
So when you give them ownership, what do? You ask them like for their feedback on something?
Yeah. I mean, it's as simple as we're in a timeout and you know, it's like, okay, what do you guys want to run? What do you feel good about? You know, you want to run. You want to run chin. You want to run Spain. You want to run, you know, whatever, you know, the actions that we have in our playbook. You know, what do you see?
So it's not like, hey, just go out there and run around and see if you can make something happen.
It's a little more specific than that. But, you know.
We have plays. We have plays that we've worked on. We all know them.
Right.
Which one of the good plays?
Right. Yeah, well, you lean on some of your perceived leaders. You know, I mean, obviously we have guys that we've ID'd as good leaders. And a lot of times those aren't your best players, but you know, they're out there. They're smart. They have a good athletic IQ. You know, you'll talk to them. You might even pull them over. I mean, I don't know how many times, you know, TJ Porter is one of our senior guards. I don't know how many times throughout the past 3 years I pulled him over to the side. I just know, you know, you can ID a leader right away. At least, I mean, I think you can. And I pulled him over to the side all the time and said, man, what do you think? You know, what do we want to do? And he loved that. You know, he embraced that. He said, well, coach, I think we should pick up in 55 on the next made basket. Okay, great. Let's go do it. You know, and you know, you need those guys that are extensions out on the floor in really any sport. See things, you know, they see things that maybe you don't see. You know, they see an advantage. Or an opportunity to create an advantage offensively or defensively. And you want that communication piece with your players. I think it's important.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, Alec, I think we've got one more question for Adam here.
Sure.
Brian, you want to ask that final question for us?
Throwing two words at you and just how would you explain the difference in your mind between transactional coaching versus transformational coaching?
Yeah, you know, obviously transactional is pretty, you know, to me, it's pretty simple. You get, you know, we've all seen and we've probably all been this coach at one point. Sure. You're reacting to everything that's happening during competition. You know, and a lot of times if it's something negative that's happening, you're addressing it right away. You're just addressing the action right away, the mistake right away. A lot of times in a version where you're screaming across the field or the court at a kid or something, whatever it is, you're just reacting. I heard a guy say a while back, and I don't know, it was probably one of the many podcasts I was listening to, you know, coaching podcasts, but, you know, he said, you know, your kids, when they're out there, they're trying to do the right things. You know, I don't think you don't coach a bunch of kids at the high school level or the middle school level that are trying to go out there and purposefully, you know, screw up. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to do the right things and they're trying to play well and they want their team to win. And I think you got to remember that as a coach, like, you know, players are going to make mistakes. Coaches are going to make mistakes. You know, how do you go about addressing those? When is the time to, you know, talk about mistakes and when is the time to talk about, you know, corrections? You know, is it a better time after the game to, you know, maybe during film, like, hey, I thought we could have done a better job here versus, yelling and screaming at a kid constantly during competition, like we see a lot as coaches, and you're just like, my God, this kid's gonna hate playing sports if you're gonna go about it that way. And just staying process oriented and just bringing, you know, I think there's a right way to make corrections with kids and your team. And sometimes in the heat of the game is not the best time. It's just not. You know, are you going to get on kids because of lack of effort? Are you going to get on kids that you perceive are, you know, maybe not playing as hard as they need to? Absolutely. Sure. I think that's fair game, you know, but when kids are making mistakes out there, hey, they're the first one to know that they made a mistake. The last thing they need, in my opinion, is a coach screaming at them. You know, I think that's going to help them.
My favorite is when the coach hollers out at the field, Michael, that was your fault.
Like, right.
What did you just accomplish here?
Right. Yep. Absolutely nothing. Well, we accomplished the kid, you know, probably balling up in a corner and not performing up to his ability the rest of the game. So that's the last thing you want to do. You know, mistakes are going to happen. That's part of it. Coaching mistakes happen. That's part of it. You know, I think film's a great thing for coaches, man, because, you know, I made this mistake as a young coach. You know, I went in after a game in the locker room and you know, I ripped a kid, you know, for his, you know, what I perceived. You know, I think it was, I didn't think he was like, you know, blocking out and rebounding, you know, up to his ability. Now, I didn't do it on the floor, but I did it in the locker room. And then, you know, of course, I go home and I watch the film after the game, and he was great. He was great the entire game, you know. And so I had to go the next day and apologize to him and be like, you know, I called you out in the locker room and before I even watched the game. You know, so what I thought I saw during the game is not what happened. And then I come in and I call you out in front of the team and it didn't happen. And I've never made that mistake again. You know, I never will until I go and look at it. And then we can just look at it as a team. And then, you know, we can talk about everything, coaching errors, mistakes, corrections that we need to make. And then we just get on to the next thing, you know. And I think that's, to me, that's more transactional. I mean, you're just getting on, or more transformational. You're just getting into the next thing. You know, you're staying process oriented. You're making corrections together. You're taking shared ownership of the corrections of the mistakes and the corrections that need to be made. And then you move on and you stay, you know, process oriented and you get ready for the next opportunity, you know, and that's good or bad. You know, it's coming off wins or losses. I don't think that changes.
It's great. It's great.
It's good. Well, thank you, Adam. Thanks. Once again, congrats on being a finalist for Coach of the Year. Exciting and looking forward to seeing you more. And yeah, appreciate the conversation.
Well, appreciate it, guys. Alec, great to meet you. And Coach, always good to see you. And yeah, we'll see you soon. We'll talk soon, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks for joining us on the show today. If you want to learn more about Community for Coaches or our guest, you can check the show notes. I'll put some links in there to our website and contact info. And until next time, keep coaching with purpose.